And we're back. Yes, we're back after quite a long hiatus. I don't have any real explanation for the hiatus, except that, you know, I've just been doing other things, you know, and you didn't even ask where I was. So, you know, I don't even know why I'm explaining myself. That's something I need to address that straight away. I'm not explaining myself anymore. I've decided I'm just going to say whatever I feel like saying, and I'm not going to worry about it, and I'm not going to explain myself. I'm done explaining myself for the rest of my life. Okay, I did not truly mean to start off this episode on a hostile footing, so let's just start over. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I got a lot of stuff to talk to you about today. It's been a while. We got a lot of catching up to do. So, without further ado, here we go, episode 33. We've had a lot of changes around the podcast, around the Diaries of a Pretender offices. So, namely, there's no email address anymore where you can contact this show or contact me. And, you know, so be it. That's the way that it's going to be from now on. I had to do a little streamlining. I don't have that website anymore that was hosting the email address, email account. So officially, the only way to contact the show or to contact me directly is through Patreon. Patreon.com/Raiden. You can find my exclusive content on there, and you can send me direct messages if you would like. It's only $3 a month for the basic subscription. I'm sure you have $3 a month. And if you're a big fan of the show, come on over. I'd love to have you. And then you can feel free to spam my inbox with whatever messages you'd like me to have. You can also contact me at the Diaries of a Pretender Instagram. I've been falling down on the job quite a lot over there as well. But I'm going to do better, and I'm going to be sharing a lot more video clips of the show on the Instagram account as well. I'm not going to be doing full videos on YouTube anymore. I know I said that before, and then I took it back and I did it anyway, but I'm not doing it anymore. I got to streamline my processes here so I can get more things done. And I know this probably doesn't make any sense to you, the listener. But, you know, this is kind of the how the sausage is made portion of this episode, you know, where I just let you in on all the details you didn't need to know. But this is what's going on behind the scenes. Speaking of behind the scenes, on my Patreon, I've also started doing what am I calling it? It's a diary entries. Diaries for everything. Diary entries about my productions that I'm working on right now. I have a documentary short that I'm 92% completed at this stage. And then I also have my next short film, which is going to be a narrative that's going to be starring me. I'm going to be shooting it next month. And so I read this book. Oh, I just noticed I'm redlining on my audio. I read this Robert Rodriguez book, and it's called Rebel Without a Crew, and it was really interesting. It's just like his diary entries about his process making his first feature film, which was like he had no money to make it. He had no crew. He was doing all the jobs. And, you know, I really identify with that because that's what I'm doing as well. I don't do all the jobs. My partner and I together do all the jobs. But I thought that was pretty cool, pretty inspiring. And his movie ended up making like several million dollars, even though he made it for like, I don't remember what the actual budget was. I want to say it was like $1,000 or something. But yeah, you know, like I feel like that's where I'm headed myself. And I thought, why don't I just go ahead and document all my little things that I'm doing? People who are interested in filmmaking will find it interesting. I talk about like all kinds of different little technical things, you know, about like for instance, on my short that I'm going to be shooting next month, I put the link on my Patreon, one of my recent Patreon posts to the LUTs we're using. LUTs are like pre-programmed color profiles that you can download into your camera, and you can shoot with the LUT in camera so you can see what it's going to look like. You're shooting in RAW, but on the monitor, you can see what the final color is going to look like, so you can know what to shoot while you're shooting. And you don't have to guess like what the color is going to look like. So just little things like that. I'm just talking about every little step of the way, the trials, the tribulations. I also had a situation where I wrote a location into my script, and then we showed up in the town where we're going to shoot the film to do a test shoot day around some of the locations. And I was like, one of the locations is this old hotel. And I stayed there once, like several years ago. And it was, of course, like a drunken partying occasion. But I just remembered that the hotel like had these really specific features, and it wasn't a nice, particularly nice hotel. But every room had a balcony, and they were facing this like huge red, like craggy rock wall. And it looked so cool. And I just thought like that would be a great location for this. So I have a scene that takes place in a hotel room between my two main characters. And then I also wanted to just like get a block of hotel rooms to use as my production offices, etc. So I was like, all right, let's see what we can do here. Let's go in this hotel. Let's talk to the management, and let's see if we can strike a deal. If we can go check out one of the rooms, take some pictures of it, and figure out if this is going to be our location. Because after all, I did have it in mind when I wrote the script. So I'm like feeling all confident and like awesome about what I'm about to do. And I walk up and there's no one there. The door's locked. There are cobwebs throughout. And yes, I did see the ghost of an old man walking through the lobby as well as I looked in the window. And so that was like a huge problem, you know? Okay, this place does not even exist anymore. What are we going to do now? So if you want to know more about all of that stuff and how I handled that and how we're problem solving our way to getting this thing done, you can check that out on Patreon, patreon.com/Raiden. Okay, so I kind of mentioned I've been going through a lot of changes. And I mean, that's always the case in life, isn't it? Or it should be. If you're not changing, you're not growing. And then what are you doing? You're just a mushroom. You're just sitting there like a mushroom, letting life wash over you and pass you by. So I'm officially a landowner. That's been pretty exciting. I have 1 acre. One single acre of family land, and I've been working on cleaning it up all by myself. It's been like a really cool process. I just like go over there and pick up sticks and burn them. I've been warring with bugs, which has been pretty unpleasant, but you know, the bugs are not going to stop me from doing what I need to do. So I've let them know, and they have accordingly bitten me, stung me, attacked me. And, you know, the war is ongoing between me and the bugs. I sprinkled something yesterday that my mom said this will kill the ticks. Ticks have been a huge problem. So I sprinkled something yesterday. We'll see how that goes. I did get stung 4 times by a bee when I was raking recently. I was just minding my business raking between 2 trees that have probably never been raked since the dawn of the Cretaceous period. And all of a sudden, before I even knew what hit me, I was burning. My legs were burning and stinging, and I was screaming. I was screaming fuck at the top of my lungs. I was screaming, what the fuck? I did not know what was happening to me, which is a startling situation to find yourself in, just being stung all over. You don't know what's happening or what the culprit is. Luckily, I'm not allergic to bees, because I was actually stung even before that recently, because I got stung on my birthday. I went camping in Tennessee for my birthday this year, and I woke up the morning of my birthday, and I was just soaking in the nature, the trees, the grass. I had a little bit of an issue with the campsite. I didn't like the site that I was assigned, so I decided to just take a different campsite, and then I ended up having to move the next morning. So I had to carry like the tent. Yes, we're talking real primitive camping in a tent, building a fire, getting, again, attacked by bugs and whatever saunters through. There were raccoons. There were all kinds of things, but it was awesome. It was really, really awesome. But anyway, I had to carry everything across this field to the new campsite the morning of my birthday. And I was not prepared for the maintenance people to have not mowed the grass, which is evidently what has occurred at this Tennessee State Park, David Crockett State Park, all devoted to the travails of David Crockett, the great frontiersman, which that was very interesting as well. There's a David Crockett Museum there. They don't mow the grass there. So the grass was like up to my knees, and I had to carry all of my camping stuff across this field to the new campsite. And my shoes and my socks were getting completely soaking wet from the dew on the grass. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have to just take off my shoes and my socks to do this, because I don't have like millions of shoes and socks on me to deal with this. So I took my shoes and my socks off. I was doing great. And then all of a sudden I kicked a bee. Never happened to me once in 34 years until that moment. I kicked a bee. Again, I was screaming, what the fuck? I didn't know what was happening. And then I looked down and there was a bee just attached in my toe. And I was kicking him, like swinging my foot around. He would not let go. I don't know what he was thinking. It was traumatic for me and him both. We were supposed to go hiking that day. And then I had the immediate thought, great. My whole day is fucked up now because of this bee stinging my toe. I'm not going to be able to hike. I'm not going to be able to do anything I want to do. But I very quickly changed my frame of mind. And I said, you know what? This is not going to ruin my day. This is not going to ruin my birthday. It's just a bee sting. I'm fine. I Googled it. What do you do when you get stung by a bee? You put mustard. And it just so happened we had mustard packets, because we made sandwiches and we swiped a bunch of little mustard packets from the store. So I was like, all right, let's go down to the creek. You got to wash the sting. You have to wash it off and get the poison away. And then you put mustard on it. So here we were, just like sprinkling mustard on my toe, rubbing it in, and then just sitting and waiting. And then we rinsed it off in the creek, and I was fine. And we went hiking, we went kayaking, and it was awesome and had a great time. So anyway, I decided at that moment, if you get stung by a bee on your birthday, it must be lucky, especially if you've never been stung before. And then this is your entree into stinging or being stung. And I just was like, well, obviously it's lucky. I just decided that and went with it. And then later, after I got stung four times again when I was raking, I decided, let me Google this and see what this means. Because a lot of times I'll do that. If I see like a little animal that I don't normally see, if a bunny runs across the road, I'll be like, what does that mean? And I'll Google it. Or if I see like a hawk just like sitting outside my window, I'll be like, let me see what that means. I'll Google it. If I see a fox, always, because a fox is my spirit animal. If I see a fox, I'm like, let me see what that means. So I Googled, what does it mean when you get stung by a bee? It is indeed lucky to get stung by a bee. It's even luckier to get stung a whole bunch of times, according to the internet. It was in several different websites that said that it was lucky, and count your lucky stars if this happens to you, and that it's especially lucky if you get stung on your birthday. So look out, world. Here I come. This is my year. Putting it out there, guys. In other news, I have been sober officially for 2 years. I can't believe it. I honestly didn't think that this day would ever come for me. 2 years ago, I certainly did not. But here we are. I'm 2 years sober, and it's the best decision I probably ever made in my life. And, you know, it pushes me outside my comfort zone. For my birthday, before I got sober, I would be like, woo, it's my birthday. Let's get drunk. You know, like, let's go to a bar. Let's do shots and, like, you know, hang out all night. Like, and that was not even fun. Like, when I turned 30, I did that on my 30th birthday. My friends and I went out, like, to a few bars. We tried to, like, make it classy, you know. We were like, let's go to the, I don't know where we went. We went to some classy joints, but it still was not, it just felt empty. It felt like something was missing. Something wasn't right. So I have to say the camping birthday was something I would not have done possibly if I was not sober. And that's what sobriety does. It pushes you, it wakes you up from just, okay, let's just get drunk all the time, like, to celebrate everything. There's actually different stuff you can do. Like, there's actually different stuff, like, going on in this world that you cannot enjoy if you are drinking. So that's been an amazing development in my life, and I look forward to many more adventures and unusual activities in my sober years to come. So I've also been, you know, in my time away from the podcast, I've been focusing on making more content for my YouTube channel. I really enjoy making videos for my YouTube because it's like a quick, well, I say quick, but sometimes I do like a shit ton of research that takes me a very long time. And then I take a long time to edit because I like everything to just be perfect, but it's still faster than, you know, the other projects that I have going, you know, that are longer term projects. It's satisfying to get an idea for a video, shoot it, edit it, and just be done with it. And you get this instant gratification that I enjoy. So I did a few videos about the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard situation. You know, but like, I'm not going to be like a rude psychopath about it, like a lot of Depp stans are. I just try to present my feelings and the issues at hand in a calm, rational, fact-based review and judgment. So I did a video about the UK trial that he lodged against the Sun newspaper. And like, there's so much misinformation about this whole thing. I read the entire judgment. It was 129 pages. And I read all 16 days of testimony in this trial, which was like so many documents. That's what I'm saying. The research, like, it, I was extremely thorough in my research to really get to the bottom of whatever happened here, which I feel like YouTube is rampant with just nonsense videos, like people who are just talking shit, saying nothing, and are either paid for by a cause or are collecting money from the platform because they're posting garbage content, but that gets a lot of garbage eyeballs on it, you know, garbage views. So I feel like I am not the kind of content that these people are used to seeing. Just calm, rational, giving the facts, giving the information. So I've been getting a lot of psychotic comments, as usual. And again, this is still something I'm learning to deal with. It's just when you have something to say and you put yourself out there, people are always going to come at you with a cascade of bullshit. And it's just the internet. So I've been, you know, continuing on my journey of learning about all of that and learning how to deal with that. I've also watched, did you watch the Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward documentary? That's a huge deal. When that came out, I don't even know, it was several weeks ago now, the Ethan Hawke directed Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward documentary on HBO. It was so good. It was, I think, 6 parts, and each part was like at least an hour long or something. I loved it. I actually watched it twice in its entirety. And I've been a big fan of Paul Newman for a couple of years now. My dad actually introduced me to Paul Newman's movies. And I think I've actually recommended a couple of Paul Newman movies on this podcast. I know I discussed Hood, and I know I discussed Hombre. And I can't remember if I made them movies of the week on here or not. I'll have to go back and check. But those movies are so good. Paul Newman was such an amazingly interesting actor and guy. I didn't even know he directed films until I watched the documentary. But it was so incredible. And I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. It's just an interesting portrait of these two people who were both scions in the industry and who deserve to have their stories documented and told. And it was so well done. They showed so many amazing clips of their films over the years and decades, because they were literally at it for decades. And I also thought it was interesting how it seems like all of the best artists are interested in activism and are also devoted to causes that expand our humanity for one another. And I really identify with that. And this, actually, I just started watching this new George Carlin documentary too, and he was the same way. So a lot of times I feel like uncomfortable in a way about asserting an opinion about a cause or an issue, and a lot of people don't want to hear about it. But at the same time, I feel like that's my calling. That's what I'm called to do as an artist and as a human being. You know, some people work on computers, some people do this, and this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to talk about these things and make people think. And that's what I have to remain devoted to. So I was watching this George Carlin documentary. I just started it yesterday. I watched the first part. It's 2 parts that are 2 hours long each. And I didn't know this about him, but he, when he was a young man, he was like very buttoned up, very straight laced. He wore a suit and tie. He had this like very conservative look and image and brand. And he didn't enjoy that. He didn't talk about any social issues. He didn't make any social commentary with his work. He just did, you know, these surface level jokes. And he was on these like variety shows that really he didn't enjoy. And at a certain point in his career, he reached this conclusion that I'm not happy doing this. I have to do this my own way. And I have to reassess who I actually am and bring who I actually am into my work. Because he was putting on a character, a George Carlin character, that didn't embody how he really felt. So I feel like I'm inspired by that. And I want to do the same in my own life. I want to hold myself accountable to who I really am and, you know, really show that in the work that I put out in this world. So, you know, you got to draw inspiration from the greats, you know, don't reinvent the wheel. But it helps to look back at these giants for inspiration. So I highly recommend the Paul Newman documentary, and I highly recommend checking out the George Carlin documentary, even though I'm not finished with it yet. I gotta watch part two. Okay, now I'm gonna make a bold statement here and say that this podcast gives the best movie recommendations of any podcast in existence. You can take my word for it. We give the best podcast recommendations on Diaries of a Pretender. Fuck, podcast. We give the best movie recommendations on the podcast Diaries of a Pretender. These are movies that you don't think of, but I'm helping you think of them. Okay, so here we go. The movie of the week is My Cousin Vinny. Yes, My Cousin Vinny. I don't know if you've heard of this movie. It came out in 1992. I had heard of this movie, but had never seen it until about a month ago. I watched it. It's on HBO Max. This movie stars Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei, Ralph Macchio, a bunch of other people. But this movie, I didn't even know the premise of this movie until I watched it. I just knew the title and I knew Joe Pesci. But this movie is about two New Yorkers who come down to the South. They get accused of murder in rural Alabama, and they have no one to call. They're in jail and they're being railroaded by the corrupt. Well, I guess they're not. Are they corrupt? I mean, they're corrupt. Yeah, they're being railroaded by the police here. And they're saying you committed a murder, which they didn't. So they have no attorney. They have no one to call except Ralph Macchio's cousin, Vinny, who is an attorney. So you think, great, he's going to have his cousin, who's an attorney from New York, going to come down and represent him and help him get out of this mess. And then when he gets there, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm an attorney. I've only been an attorney for 6 months and I've never defended a criminal case. So he has no clue what he's doing. And he has to fake it till he makes it. And comedy ensues. It's a very quick-witted, funny movie. And it's honestly just a good time. Like these movies from the early 90s, I feel like a lot of these movies are just a good time. There's nothing to worry about. You're going to enjoy this movie and you're going to have fun when you watch it. Marissa Tomei, I believe, let me just double check because I think I don't want to be wrong about this. Okay, Marissa Tomei won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for this movie. Now, I did not know that. I knew like the title of the movie. Like I said, I didn't know the premise. I didn't know what was going on. And I certainly didn't know that she won the Oscar for My Cousin Vinny, but she did. She's this like tough, quick talking woman who's his girlfriend or whatever in the movie. Yeah, girlfriend, not wife. But because that's like a thing between them. She wants to get married and he's trying to, you know, be a good attorney. But she's like, she helps him a lot. She helps him, you know, make his case. And she wears cool outfits. She's, like I said, very fast-talking, quick-witted lady. And it turns out she's an expert in car mechanics, which turns out to be very helpful to his case, ultimately. So this movie is good. You're going to like it. And watch it on HBO Max. Pretty cool. Now, I did have one thing to add now that I'm thinking about it that I forgot to mention earlier. I have gone to the movies a couple of times recently, and I went to see Nope, which I'm not gonna lie, I was a little disappointed. And I feel like I sound like a dumbass when I say that because Jordan Peele is a great director and a great writer, and visually the movie was stunning, I would say. But it was a little weird. Like the story, the plot was a little weird. I had a little bit of just issues. Also, I was eating some nachos during the movie and the nachos didn't taste good. And then there was a lady sitting next to me I actually didn't get any food when I came into the movie, but then I got really hungry, like, and I was having problems, like, with the whole situation. So I was like, I'm just going to go get some freaking nachos. And because the guy in front of me was eating nachos. He was, like, crunching, and then he ran out of cheese, and he was eating every chip, like, really, really loudly. He was, like, taking, like, 17 bites of each chip, and it was making these little crunching noises, and it was pissing me off so fucking bad. And then there's a lady sitting to my right, and she was eating a literal cheeseburger in the movie, sitting right next to me. And she's like making, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to piss you off the way that I was irritated during the movie. But she was like smacking, she was crumpling like the foil wrapper of the burger. I could smell it. And she was smacking, like I said. And then she had those like thin paper napkins. And she was like, oh, I wish I had one so I could do the noise of that. She was like crumpling this thin paper napkin like every 2 seconds, like she's taking a bite and then she's crumpling this napkin. I was about to absolutely lose it. So at that point, I got up and I went out and got the nachos. And I actually sat in a different seat in the front of the theater when I came back because I didn't want to sit near the nacho crunching guy and the cheeseburger eating lady. So maybe... Maybe I can attribute my lack of enthusiasm for Nope partially to the situation in the theater. I don't know. But while we're on the subject, like, do we have to have cheeseburgers at the movies? I'm honestly so sick of it. I know I probably sound like a boomer, but bring back the days where you could just get a popcorn and a Coke at the freaking movies. Like, I understand you have Impossible Nuggets at the movies now. Like, this is for real. I'm not kidding you. They have Impossible Nuggets at the movie theater now. And I'm like, I'm all for Impossible Nuggets, but do we need Impossible Nuggets at the movies? Do we need chicken nuggets at the movies? Do we need mozzarella sticks and flatbread pizza and fucking buffalo wings in the movie theater? Who is eating this shit while they're sitting in a dark movie theater watching a movie? Evidently, everyone sitting around me was partaking. You know, that's why I have such an issue with this. Okay, I'm not going to end on a bad note, but I'm just saying, like, come on. Come on. I know the movie theaters make their money from the concessions, so they're like, I guess this is helping the movie theaters to have Impossible Nuggets and flatbread pizza, but I'm not with it. I don't like it. I don't support it, and possibly I should start a petition. I don't know. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today. Thank you for joining me, having a little fun today. Like I said before, you can join me on Patreon, patreon.com/Raiden, for all the exclusive content and fun discussion with me over on Patreon. Also, follow the show on Instagram at Diaries of a Pretender. Don't forget to rate and review the show if you love it. If you don't like it, I'm so sorry. Maybe don't leave a review, but thank you for tuning in. I'll speak to you soon. Bye.